heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Also remember that you can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. One of the resources that we were just advertising on wealth and poverty by St. John Chrysostom, a must read. Let me just say a word about that, which is that the parable of the rich man and Lazarus is of extraordinary benefit to us. And that is whether you are rich or poor, it teaches us that the most pitiable person of all is the one who lives in luxury and shares his goods with nobody. But throughout his sermons, I was so taken as I read them and reread them, so taken by the fact that St. John speaks again and again of the criticality of reading the Scripture. He says that ignorance of Scripture is a great cliff and a deep abyss. Ignorance of Scripture has led to heresies and, of course, to a corrupt way of life. So he puts great emphasis on the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, which is the canon of Scripture. Well, a lot of you, of course, can get a hold of us by calling 888-ASK-HANK, 888-275-4265. Get your questions answered on air. In fact, let's go to the phone lines and talk to Elroy in San Antonio, Texas, listening on KDRY. Hi, Elroy.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Man, I appreciate you having me on, and I'm glad you're doing well and back on the air. I wanted to talk to you. I mean, I listen to Answer Man every day around 1 o'clock, so it's hard for me to get in on a call. But there were some things that were said, and I mean, as of lately in my journey, my spiritual journey, I've come to understand with being revealed by the Holy Spirit in me that I am Muslim and I am Christian. By definition, not necessarily by religion. And so there was a statement that was made. This isn't my question, but the statement was made that Muslims believe that their God is greater. And, you know, that is true. But we also believe that we submit our will to God. And also, as a Christian, I follow Christ. And in order to do so, you have to do the same. Because one who submits his will to God, which is exactly what Jesus did, and so if we're going to follow Jesus Christ and call ourselves Christians, then we once again have to submit our will to God, which comes into the definition of Muslim. And I've had this conversation with a couple of pastors here, and, you know, it always comes down to the definition and the interpretation. And so as the Holy Spirit in me also revealed that we have an interpretation of the word by as it's written, but the spiritual world that we in is only revealed by the Holy Ghost. And so many people read words in a physical nature. And so you talked about Lazarus in the beginning, and everybody's talking about how these people were, well, Lazarus was brought back to death. I mean, brought back to life. And so they say that's a physical world. But in the spiritual world, the Holy Spirit says, why would any man seem it a reward to be brought back to life and put back into this world?
Right. Well, you know, there's a couple of things that I should say in response to what you've said. It is true that Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, was raised by our Lord from the dead. And our Lord had a distinct purpose for doing that. But it is also true to say that even if someone comes back from the dead, people will continue to disbelieve. In fact, continue to misinterpret who God is and who Jesus Christ is. And that's why I oftentimes say that you cannot be a Muslim and a Christian, because the two are in conflict one with the other. Let me start with what you said about Allahu Akbar. I have said on this broadcast that while media pundits seek to convince the gullible that Allahu Akbar means God is great, in actuality, it means Allah is greater, as you alluded to, greater than all, and that includes greater than the Christian God. But here's what I would say in response to that. In truth, Allah cannot be great, much less greater than God, for at least three reasons. I give those three reasons in this fashion. The greatest of all gods would not misapprehend the Trinity. Secondly, the greatest of all gods would not offer Islamic jihadists a paradise of idyllic joy as a reward for immoral jihad. And third, the Unitarian Allah of Islam by definition lacks the moral perfection of love, and thus on the basis of logic is morally defective. And I should add, not only does Allah suppose the biblical God to be the third of three, he supposes Mary to be the third person of the triad. In other words, Allah misunderstands God's revelation of himself in the Holy Scripture. I think another point ought to be added here, and that is the Quranic teaching is that Christ was not crucified nor killed by the Jews. In fact, the narrative in Islam is that God made someone look like Jesus, and the look-alike was crucified in place of Jesus. And Muslims have forever been forwarding candidates ranging from Simon of Cyrene to Judas Iscariot. I point out in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, that Yusuf Ali, in his Quranic commentary, which is hugely popular in the West, tries to bolster the denial of crucifixion and subsequent resurrection through an appeal to the Gospel of Barnabas, which, as I've said many times on the broadcast, is a late medieval fabrication, not even concocted until the 14th century. If you want to get a good overview on why Islam is completely incompatible with Christianity, I have a section in my book that's titled Major Muslim Misapprehensions. And in that section, I point out that Islam begins with the mother of all errors, the failure to apprehend the deity of Jesus Christ, and in grave misapprehension, thus, Islam renders Jesus Christ a mere slave of Allah. In Islam, original sin is recast as an original slip, a mere bout of forgetfulness. The divine canon of Scripture is subverted in Islam by the factual errors, the faulty ethics, and the feigned eloquence of the Quran. The incomprehensible Trinity, as I was just mentioning, is usurped by a morally defective Unitarian imposter. Resurrection, which in Christianity is the greatest feat of all, is demoted to mere fantasy, and the incarnation of Jesus Christ is demeaned in Islam as blasphemy. And then I think it's important to recognize that eschatology, which is the thread that weaves the tapestry of Scripture into a harmonious pattern, is ignominiously sullied by the sensual enticements of a largely incoherent Islamic eschatological charade. So the bottom line here is simply this. You cannot, Elroy, make Christianity and Islam compatible. It's neither fair to Christianity, nor is it fair to Islam. And this is something that was driven home by Islamic teachers to me. So they believe this as much as I believe this, that these two religions are incompatible. When I was in Iran, teaching at the University of Tehran, as well as Alma Tabetaba, the sociology university in Iran, or in Tehran. I'm going to leave it at that. We're coming to the station break. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Be right back.
For modern prosperity preachers, Christ is a means to our ends, leading many to the Master's table, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on his table, a crude commodification of faith placing consumerism above the cross. The early church father John Chrysostom passionately examines Christ's parable of the rich man and Lazarus, showing that the contrast between prosperity preachers and the teachings of Christ could not be starker. Chrysostom's Christian classic on wealth and poverty is not a feel-good book for a feel-good generation. It is a desperately needed message thundering from the past with prophetic urgency for the present. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
John Chrysostom's Christian classic on wealth and poverty is an exposition of Christ's parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The contrast between modern prosperity preachers and Chrysostom could not be starker. For the prosperity preacher, Christ is a means to our ends, leading many to the Master's table, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on his table. The glory of the cross exchanged for the glory of consumerism, a crude commodification of the cross. On Wealth and Poverty is not a feel-good book for a feel-good generation. It is a message filled with truths that transform, thundering from the past with prophetic urgency for the present. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Thank you.
once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I do want to say something on this broadcast about an article that I read in National Review. I've been thinking about saying this. I read the article a couple of days ago, but I've never gotten around to it, and I don't want to forget to mention this because I think it's a very significant subject. In all of the discussion about the election, there hasn't been a whole lot of discussion about Biden's pick for the coronavirus task force, a man named Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel. And again, there was an article in National Review that talked about this pick for this task force. The article was titled, "Living Too Long is a Loss," or it's also a loss. But the point here for me was, here you have someone in Biden's coronavirus task force who wants to die by age 75. And according to Dr. Emanuel, it's morally problematic to live past the age of 75. And upon hearing those words by Dr. Emanuel, I couldn't help but think of the wisdom of a much more stable counselor. I'm talking about the Jewish king Solomon, who said, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for its profit is better than the profit of silver, and it's fine than fine gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her." And then he says, "Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace." This is in Proverbs chapter 3. Or think about what King David said. He said, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So this whole idea that we should only live to be a certain age is contra the immortal words of Scripture. "Once I've lived to 75, says Dr. Emanuel, my approach to my health care will completely change. He says, "I'm not going to actively end my life, but I won't try to prolong it either. The deadline of 75 forces each one of us," he says, "to ask whether our consumption is worth our contribution." Well, the truth of the matter is, I know a lot of people who are over 75 years of age. I think right now about my dear friend Jack Countryman. He's published many of my books. He's probably published more books than anyone on the planet. He's in his 90s. I still play golf with him. He has a rapier-sharp mind. And his prayer is always the same, "Lord, don't put me on the bench." He's making an incredible difference in his 90s. And certainly has beyond the age of 75 for many years. But whether one is feeble or not is irrelevant. And a calculation of consumption over contribution is equally irrelevant. The meaning of a person's life should not be bound up in one's autonomy, in one's personal happiness, in engagement in a particular activity that brings satisfaction. Instead, our purpose and where we find the meaning in our life is in glorifying, in loving, in serving the triadic one, in entering into the life of the Trinity in which the omnipotent Father engrafts the life of his Son into us by his Spirit so that we may become partakers of the divine nature. And as Christ taught, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. And that is irrespective of age. And if someone loves me, says Jesus, he will obey my teaching. The Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Why do I say that? Well, in seeking to love and obey God, we will live morally virtuous lives, and a feeble person is perfectly capable of doing that by modeling virtue in suffering, by providing loved ones the opportunity to grow in virtue through caring for him or her in their needs. I remember that very thing having a transcendently important impact on my own family when we took care of my wife's mother. It was a difficult thing to do. She had to be carried to the bathtub, to the bathroom. And my kids had to do that. And through that process, my kids learned a tremendous amount, not only about the human condition, but about the God who has created the human condition and cares for our every breath of life. I think also of my father. He happened to die before 75. He was 74. But while he lived, even during the agony of the last years of his life, he told me that every breath is precious. And so on his deathbed, he was able to pray for his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and then take one final breath and go home to be with the Lord. From a biblical perspective, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And like suffering for our faith, physical suffering has redemptive value. The ironies multiply. In this article, the author points out that Dr. Emanuel is the man who Joe Biden has selected to help save the country from a virus that is particularly dangerous to the elderly. In other news, Joe Biden turns 78 on November 20. So here you have someone he's selecting. Think about the irony. Selecting for a coronavirus task force. He's over 75, and this man is saying that you really shouldn't live past 75, because if you do, you're going to be consuming more than you're worth. All of this is relevant on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Extremely relevant on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, because it underscores the fact that we have drifted a long way away from the Judeo-Christian tradition, from the Judeo-Christian ethic that has supported Western civilization. And now you can have people like Christine Brennan in the sports page, as I read the other day, talking about Jack Nicklaus and others who are white in derisive terms, as though skin color gives a person value or subtracts that value from a person. Talking about old white men as though being old is some kind of a crime, or being a man is less worthy than being a woman, or vice versa. The same person who in their wokeness no doubt would promote transgenderism. Again, we have moved so far away from the roots of civility in our culture. A liberal democracy only really works when it is embedded by Christian verities and values. Otherwise, it simply will not work. Well, I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back next week with a whole new slate of broadcasts. So long for now. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. The beauty of the Christian classic On Wealth and Poverty is that by absorbing its message, you may well arrive at a true valuation of things. It is a pearl of greatest value in the treasure chest of Christian teachings. Those who absorb its message will be eternally transformed, assured that whatever your status in this life, rich or poor, you will experience the quintessence of wealth in the life that is to come. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty by John Chrysostom, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.